to try so hard to get through this without laughing. Hello and welcome to Give That Fan a Podcast, hosted by Ryan Blake and Paul Valley. We're the only Orioles show that is this one and not a different one, although there are plenty of others. Thanks for choosing us. You won't regret it. At least, I hope not. That's kind of dumb. Anyway, every episode streams live on our Twitter at Give That Fan a Pod, YouTube at Give That Fan a Podcast, and Facebook.com/Orioles247. Later, you can find audio versions on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you listen to podcasts, as well as at UtahStreetReport.com. Hopefully by now, Ryan and Paul have had enough time to share the live stream on the social media pages, so let's get into the show. I did it. I almost got there. I'm on Facebook now. Share. Share now, friends. All right, we did it.
We did.
Might need to add 5 seconds to the video. I got through it without laughing, which has been an issue for me in the past. It is episode 31 of Give That Fan a Podcast. I'm Ryan Blake. That's Paul Valley to my whatever side that is on the screen. And then we're joined by Dylan Atkinson. Dylan, you told me to refer to you as a retired blogger. How would you like to introduce yourself?
I mean, you could introduce me as retired. That might be the only way to go. I mean, I've been introduced on other shows and everything as writing for Utah Street Report, but it's been a couple of years since I got behind the keyboard. So now I do still write about the Orioles, but it's very shortened in the form of tweets now. So
it's only in his diary.
It's only in my diary. Yep. Notepad on the iPhone. That's about it.
Dear Diary, Brandon Hyde took a starter out way too early again tonight. I don't know what I'll do. Talk to you tomorrow. XOXO.
Dylan.
Well, thank you for joining us. I texted you a couple hours ago to see if you wanted to come on and join us for our season preview / prediction show, whatever you'd like to call it. We've got a fun game we're going to play. I created a few wheels on an online generator with some players and some statistics. And we're going to assign some over-unders, and we'll take turns selecting over-under. I'll throw out a graphic on Twitter. We'll revisit at the end of the year. And Dylan, we might have to have you back on for a show to discuss the results and see how things went.
Yeah, definitely. I would love to.
And Paul, how are you, man?
I'm good, man. It's crazy because I started this new job like 2 months ago, and so I've been kind of balls to the wall with that. That baseball season kind of snuck up on me, even though I've been doing weekly shows still, it just kind of snuck up on me. And it's like, I haven't had the time to get excited. And now that we're just hours away, I'm excited. So I got to try to figure out a way to get out of work early enough tomorrow that I can watch the game. Otherwise I'll just be in my office watching on my phone, pretending to work.
There you go. Yeah. It's an exciting time. 2 o'clock tomorrow, Orioles and Red Sox at Fenway Park to start the regular season. And then tomorrow evening after the game's over, I'm headed down to Raleigh to see some family, but also to see Norfolk Tide's opening day against the Durham Bulls. I'll be at all three weekend games.
Nice.
I don't think I'm going to be able to watch the Orioles down there because they don't have Masson at the house I'm going to.
Do you have the app on your phone?
I have the all-new Masson app.
Is it all new?
The one that's 3 years old and they're still calling it the all-new Masson app.
Oh, yeah.
I do, yeah. So I guess I can watch it on that. It's kind of crappy, but it's better than nothing, I suppose. But I was down there, like by the beach in North Carolina, during baseball season last year, and I wasn't able to stream the Orioles aside from on the app. So I guess I'll have to re-download that app and get my fix that way. But yeah, man, it's coming up. It starts tomorrow. I kind of feel the same way. Like I haven't really had a chance to sit back and just be excited, but I'm sure that's going to kick in tomorrow once I got the Orioles on Masson, and then being at the stadium this weekend and Camden Yards next week. It's an exciting time, and we're very much looking forward to it.
Hey, is Grayson going to be the opening day starter for the Tides?
I don't know, but I really hope so.
Well, you'll get to see him and DL down there.
Yeah, in some order. I'll definitely get to see those two. I'm excited for that. The lineup's going to be great.
Spencer Watkins.
You think he'll be the three?
I can't imagine that he wouldn't be.
Him or maybe Zimmerman. I don't know.
Watkins had the most starts and the most success of anybody else at the big league level last year that's on the Norfolk Tides rotation. So I imagine it would be Watkins.
I would think so. We'll see what happens. But, yeah, I'm excited to be down there. Durham has a beautiful stadium. If you guys ever get a chance, it's absolutely worth it. I went last year, and I don't even think I went to my seat aside from during a rain delay. And I was just walking around the stadium. I spent like three innings up on that wall in left field, just wandering around. I found a seat down the left field line, like where you sit and eat food. It's got the little bench in front of you. It's a really, really cool stadium.
Do they still have the bowl?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Awesome. I've never been there. I only have only ever seen it from Bull Durham. So
yeah, no, it's pretty, if I recall correctly, it's that big statue right out front.
I was just talking about the one down the right field line. When they would hit it in the movie, it would go and shoot smoke out of its nose.
Oh, yeah, right. I don't recall that. I'll have to double check.
Take a look.
I seen it last year.
By the way, spot on bull impression. I know.
It was great.
It was beautiful.
You nailed it. All right, guys. 26-man roster is almost set. They've narrowed it down to a few guys in the bullpen I think they need to make final spots for. Adley Rutschman, obviously, opening day catcher. It looks like Anthony Benboom will be his backup, as it's likely James McCann begins the season on the injured list. Across the infield, Ryan Mountcastle, Ramon Urias, Jorge Mateo, Gunnar Henderson are on the team. Terran Vavra and Adam Frazier in the mix as well. Not sure if they'll be primarily second base, corner outfield. We'll see. And then in the outfield, Anthony Santander, Cedric Mullins, Austin Hayes, Kyle Stowers. And we can't just get rid of Ryan McKenna. He is forever ingrained in Brandon Hyde's mind.
I tweeted out yesterday, I hope all of you can find somebody that loves you the way Brandon Hyde loves Ryan McKenna. He just can't quit him. Can't quit him.
It's very similar to the way that Buck Showalter loved Joey Rickard.
Yeah. Or Ryan Flattery. Ron Flattery. Ron Flattery. Yeah. But at least Ron Flattery could hit a home run every now and again.
That's true. Once in a while. I might have mentioned this before, but I was sitting next to Joey Rickard's family when he hit his first career homer. That was a really
nice moment. That's cool.
He didn't hit a lot of those, so it was nice to be there for that. Pitchers, we've got Kyle Gibson, Dean Kramer, Cole Irvin, Kyle Bradish, and Tyler Wells in that order as the starting five. Notable omission there, Grayson Rodriguez. We will get to that in a moment. The bullpen, Felix Bautista, CNL Perez, Brian Baker, Austin Voth. I don't think that's been confirmed, but he's out of options, and I can't imagine them releasing him. So Voth is likely to be in the bullpen. Danny Colombe, who just acquired in a trade from the Minnesota Twins. And then should be three out of four of these remaining players, Mike Bauman, Logan Gillespie, Keegan Aiken, and Joey Crable, who was in a video the Orioles posted of the team packing up to ship out to Boston. It doesn't necessarily mean he made the team. He could be on the taxi squad, but we're looking at three of those four guys who will be on that opening day roster. And then on the injured list, notable omissions from that bullpen, Dylan Tate and Michael Gibbons both will begin the season on the injured list and might miss a little bit of an extended period.
They were saying that they expect Michael Gibbons could be back by mid-April. Tate, what we heard late April, early May, and now we're hearing mid to late May. So that's one of those things where they're probably just being careful with him because they don't want to have to deal with it again. It's not an insignificant injury. It's a big loss, which is why they had to go out and get Colombe, or however you pronounce his name. Colombe?
Yeah, I kind of guessed on that. I probably should have looked it up.
Coulomb? It's Coulomb.
Coulomb.
Yep.
That's way cooler than Colombe.
Yeah, that's kind of like how you randomly pronounce Brett Favre's last name is Brett Favre instead of Favre. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but okay.
We'll roll with it.
That's a good name. All right, so I mentioned Grayson Rodriguez left out of the opening day rotation. We'll begin the season at AAA Norfolk. DL Hall, Jordan Westberg, and Colton Cowser joining him down there. There's an argument to be made that those guys are really knocking on the door, DL Hall especially, but they want to stretch him out as a starter. Jordan Westberg was absolutely crushing the ball in the spring. Cowser was optioned a couple weeks ago. I guess, I don't know, my understanding of time is out the window right now, but recently he was optioned. And then Orioles released a few guys, Franchy Cordero, who signed a major league deal with the New York Yankees today after absolutely raking in the spring, slashed over 400, 600, and 700 or something unreal. Nomar Mazara is gone. Andrew Politi DFA'd and returned to the Boston Red Sox. Kevin Smith, who was acquired for Miguel Castro from the New York Mets, was released. Robert Nystrom as well, who many were clamoring to see make a debut last year. And Dylan, I'm sorry to our friend Danny. Blaine Knight, Orioles third round pick in 2018, was a stud at Arkansas. Danny has been a believer for a while. He's gone. Do you have anything to say to Danny about that?
Just so sorry, Danny. I mean, I don't know if he can watch the Orioles season now. It may just be a wrap for him now. He's been clamoring for Blaine Knight for probably ever since Blaine Knight was born. So for Blaine Knight to be out now, I know Danny's not in a good spot right now. So best wishes to Danny right now, and hope he turns the TV on tomorrow.
We need to follow up with him and see if he's getting some type of season plan for the Angels, because he's living out there in California studying for his PhD with a chance to see Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout play baseball as often as possible. I think he needs to take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Grayson Rodriguez. And Paul, I'll start with you. Does this feel to you, because there's been a lot of discourse on Twitter about this subject since it was announced that Rodriguez did not break camp with the Orioles, is this simply a result of him not pitching well in the spring, having a few blow-up outings, or blow-up innings, I guess I should say, not pitching beyond the fourth inning at all? Or is this a blatant service time manipulation deal? What do you think?
Oh, man, I hope it's not the latter.
A little bit of both.
It could be a little bit of both, but I mean, the Orioles, you know, last year, Adley didn't come up till May 21st, still finished second rookie of the year. He got that extra year of arbitration while the Orioles got nothing out of it. So I legitimately thought, hey, look, if Grayson Rodriguez can do what we know he can do, and or what we think we know he can do, he can finish top three for rookie of the year, or top two for rookie of the year, and then they can get that extra draft pick, that competitive balance round draft pick after the first round. So I thought that, and I honestly thought he was working on stuff this year, but I guess he didn't have that luxury. It's tough, man, because somebody asked me this morning my thoughts on Grayson, and on the one hand, do I think that he's one of the best pitchers in the system to be that would be on the active roster? Absolutely, he might be the best, but he didn't pitch like it in spring. Meanwhile, Kyle Bradish and Tyler Wells finished the spring really strong. Bradish only had that one bad outing, and they proved it and earned it at the big league level last year. So if you really want to win and you want to have guys in your rotation that you think can help your team the best from the start of the year on, you can't take a job away from Bradish and Wells when they didn't do anything to lose it. So the only issue here is, do I think Grayson Rodriguez could be up by mid-April? Yeah, but who's he going to replace? Because I don't anticipate any of these guys being so bad that they're going to lose their job 2 weeks into the season.
Dylan, you texted me and me and Danny, I think, yesterday to point out that Grayson Rodriguez's mom was retweeting and liking a bunch of stuff about service time manipulation. And we had one of those, the gif of the dog in the fire and everything is fine. What are your thoughts on the situation?
It's really a tough read on it. I mean, obviously a lot of people are going to assume it's the service time manipulation, and very well could be. We don't know. We're on the outside looking in here, and all we can do is take Elias's comments and see whether or not, do I trust those comments, or is he just saying this because he can't blatantly say this is the reason? And you know what? Grayson really didn't pitch that well this spring to earn a spot, but he doesn't have anything left to prove at the AAA level. There's a lot of give and take here. And I forget where I was listening earlier today, so I apologize for not giving the credibility on who said it. But someone was saying, when it comes to service time manipulation, when you have a club like the Orioles that have been, quote unquote, tanking for a certain number of years and have been rebuilding, and this is kind of the way that they were operating before, it's tough to give them the benefit of the doubt when they say this isn't service time manipulation. Mm-hmm. So realistically, it's probably a combination of both, between him not looking the best out of five starting pitchers, along with, if he's not looking the best, why start his clock right now? Kind of a crappy way to look at it, sure, but realistically, I think he's going to be up pretty soon once he gets his command under control in AAA, which I don't think should take him too long. And we may get a lot of our answers depending on when he's called up to make his big league debut, on whether or not that's, you know, affecting the service clock or not. I mean, if he makes one or two starts down there and is called up, and all of a sudden that goes in as his first year of service, and nobody can point to that anymore. But I have a feeling he's going to be getting called up after that.
Oh, and that's the thing, though, because they're not going to call him up to put him in the bullpen, right? Are they going to go to a six-man rotation? Because, again, the only way that you're calling him up to make his big league debut is if somebody's hurt or if somebody's being ineffective. And honestly, unless they're ineffective to the point where they're giving up, let's say that Kyle Bradish is giving up seven runs in three innings, his first three or four starts, unless they're like that, they're not going to demote somebody that quickly. So I can't imagine that Grayson Rodriguez will be replacing somebody. So when do you justify calling him up, and who do you send out?
That is definitely the tricky question there. And realistically, it may be a situation where he's just doing too well at AAA to keep him down, and you got to create room somewhere. And if it just so happens that, say, it's a toss-up between one or two pitchers, maybe it's between Bradish and Wells, whoever it may be, it's very possible that their game plan, assuming Grayson was going to be starting the year in the rotation, was going to be Wells in the bullpen. So maybe they just go ahead and jump the gun and throw Wells into the bullpen then. And realistically, might be able to plan with some off days and stuff and still be able to use Wells as a spot starter here and there. But he'll be able to be used in both bulk relief and in the middle and late innings, you know. Yeah. So I think they'll find their time to get him in. It may be a disappointment for Wells when it happens, but that's what I foresee happening if there's no injuries.
It's the only logical thing, yeah.
It's a little surprising to me, speaking of injuries, that they went with, you know, say what you want about the manipulation of the performance or whatever. Grayson Rodriguez was supposed to be called up last June, and then he wasn't because he got hurt. The Orioles have two guys in their bullpen who are supposed to be major pieces of the bullpen who are going to start the season on the injured list. Why not start Grayson at the big league level in the rotation? Tyler Wells has had success in the bullpen, specifically in the back end of the bullpen. I don't understand why they don't put their best foot forward in that regard. But if it's an issue of performance with Grayson's spring, I understand it. If it's a service time thing, then it kind of goes to support the people who don't think Elias cares about winning. And there is a contingent of Orioles fans who believe that. And as unfortunate as that may be, I've seen people point out this week that was kind of the blueprint in Houston as well, to keep guys down until they could extend their team control for a certain amount of time. I don't know if Dylan lost his internet or if he left because he didn't like the point I was making.
I think he was just so mad at you. He's like, no, you're stupid. You're wrong. That probably. He just had to go. I do wish that the new reliever, Coulomb, that his last name was actually Colombe, because I could say it's a little of Danny Colombe, Danny Colombe, and make that awesome joke. But alas, it is Coulomb. So wanted to make the joke anyway. You're welcome, listeners.
That's good.
And Ryan.
And Dylan. Oh, there he is. He's back. He might not have it. Right, there we go. Can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, I'm gonna bump up your audio a little bit like I did before.
You missed a Column A, Column B joke instead of Coulomb.
That's great.
I had to tell you because I'm proud of it. I really am. I think actually the show should probably just end now. It's gold.
I definitely appreciate that one.
That's a good place to stop, but unfortunately we still have a lot to do in this episode. I did want to get your thoughts, and I think the way we'll do this, because I want to add it to the predictions that we're going to get into here in a bit, there are six guys who I think are knocking on the door, and I'd like to hear from you guys and see when you think they will be called up. And for DL Hall, it won't be his major league debut, but for the rest of the guys, when will they make their debut? I'm going to start with Dylan, since you're the guest. You have six guys to choose from. Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, Jordan Westberg, Colton Cowser, Connor Norby, Joey Ortiz. Give me a date that we see two of those six players make it to the bigs this year.
Two of them?
Pick
Watch,
any
I'm
two.
I'm going to pick off dates for both of them. I'm going to pick off days for both of them by accident. We'll see here. I'm going to go with Jordan Westberg. Yep. We'll go Jordan Westberg, and I'll say May 15th, because I think they're going to give a good month and a half to get an idea on who they want in the long run here between guys like Mateo, Arias, Frazier, and all that. They're going to get split up the playing time a lot there and see what they got to figure out where they want to go forward to be able to make the room for Westberg. And the next one, I'll choose Colton Cowser. And I'm going to say this will be, I'll say August 1st. I think it's going to be in the late summer here. I think they're going to give guys like Austin Hayes, Kyle Stowers every opportunity in the corner outfield spots here. Obviously, when Santander's not playing out there, if he's DEHing Stowers in a corner outfield spot.
Uh-oh. Losing Dylan again?
I think we lost him again. I was going to say, if I'd been able to take Colton Cowser, I was going to say, like, early to mid-August also. So I'm glad we're on the same page there.
Yeah. All right, so we didn't get to hear Dylan's justification. I guess I should pull him off the stream there since he's frozen. Go ahead and make your two picks, Paul. You still have Grayson Rodriguez, DL Hall, Connor Norby, and Joey Ortiz to choose from. Dylan's got Jordan Westberg at May 15th, Colton Cowser at August 1st.
I'm going to say Joey Ortiz. June 5th. That is an off day. June 6th, I'm going to say, for Joey Ortiz, because I don't think Mateo's offense is going to justify him staying. They're going to give him the first 2 months, and when he's hitting 190 with a 240 on base percentage at the beginning of June, Ortiz's defense is going to come, is going to get him up to the big league level, and I think he'll be hitting pretty well in the minor. So June 6th for Joey Ortiz. And Grayson Rodriguez. No, I'm going to do DL Hall. And I'm going to say DL Hall will be here. June 15th. And I think he's going to be in the starting rotation. And it's going to be in place of somebody who's hurt. I don't want to say that somebody's going to get hurt, but I think somebody is either going to get – that's the only way I think he's going to be here, because I don't think any of these guys are going to perform poorly in this rotation. So I think somebody's going to get hurt. He's going to come up, and he's going to be a dark horse candidate for Rookie of the Year.
Okay, so Dylan's got Jordan Westberg at May 15th, Colton Cowser August 1st. Paul has Joey Ortiz June 6th and DL Hall June 15th, which leaves me with Grayson Rodriguez and Connor Norby. So I'm going to say for Grayson, I really don't think he's going to be down for too long. I have a feeling it's going to be long enough to get that extra year of team control. I don't know exactly what date that would be, but I'm going to put Grayson Rodriguez, let's call it April 19th. We'll see him. I don't know if that's a game on the schedule, but April 19th makes sense to me. And then Connor Norby is a tough case because Jordan Westberg and Joey Ortiz, I think, are on a faster track to the majors than Norby is. Norby, I think, has similar upside to those two players, not necessarily in terms of skill set, but in terms of major league productivity and ability to do that. I'm not sure we see Connor Norby at all this season. I would really like to, though, and so I'm going to put him at September 1st, call him a late-season call-up, similar to what we saw from Gunnar last year. He was a little before September, but I'll give Connor Norby September 1st. Hopefully we get to see him in the bigs this year, and I will add those to our graphic. And now it's time.
Well, before you do, I do want to comment on that a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
I think that Westbrook's going to come up and prove himself to be a solid big league everyday player. And so that's the only thing that's going to prevent Norby from having a spot. I think Norby, his hit tool for me is off the charts. I think he's such a good hitter that you could justify bringing him up early, maybe as soon as Westberg, but Westberg's going to get up here first and block him. And that's the only reason I don't think he'd be here till till September 1st.
No, I agree with that completely. It's not a knock on what Norby is capable of doing. It's more so the fact that the Orioles already have so many infielders and two more that aren't even on the big league roster yet that I think are a little ahead of Norby in the pecking order for that when you look at Westberg and Ortiz. And so unless we see some significant moves where the Orioles are trading maybe even two of Adam Frazier, Jorge Mateo, or Ramon Arias, I could also see a situation where the Orioles are competitive and they end up including Connor Norby in a trade package for a buy now, a win now kind of piece. So I really don't know what to make of Norby's situation. I hope we get to see him get a chance. I like him a lot. He's a very, very talented hitter. And we'll see. We'll see. But I think September 1st is conservative, but probably a little safer than trying to project him up here sooner.
Yeah, agreed.
But I think we nailed those, honestly. I think we did. Westberg in the middle of May sounds great. Kowser, I agree with, you know, beginning of the end of summer. And then Paul's guys in June. So I like that a lot. All right, fellas. Are we ready to move on to the wheel of whatever we want to call it?
Torture.
I think I'm ready, but I'm not sure if my computer's ready.
That's okay. You've crapped out a couple times on us. Hopefully it doesn't happen again.
If I crap out, just keep moving forward. I'll work my way back in. Just keep moving. Don't stop.
We will. I know you'll you're smart enough to find your way back in, and I'll make sure I keep an eye on you down at the bottom and make sure we add you into the stream. So I'm going to go ahead and share my side screen here and explain to those of you watching how this is going to work. Okay. So we have a wheel. This wheel has 20 names on it. Oh, I meant to add, since we have three of us, adding Adam Frazier's 21st name seems appropriate so that we can all do seven apiece. So how this is going to work is we're going to spin the wheel. We're going to take turns. I'm the one controlling it, but we'll take turns spinning the wheel. It'll land on a player. I will remove that player from the wheel. If the player is a batter, we will move to this wheel. If the player is a pitcher, we will move to this one. So I'm going to go first just to give an example, and we'll kind of explain how it's going to go. I'm going to give names and statistics to Paul. Paul is going to give them to Dylan. Dylan, you're going to give them to me, and we will continue to rotate in that manner. We're going to do some over-unders. I will take all these down, and we will make a little graphic and compare at the end. Okay. So I'm going to start to give an explanation. I will get a player. I will get a statistic. I will make up a number. Paul will say over or under that number. And on we go. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's spin that wheel. It has sound effects on it, which are cool. But then once you land on a name, it does like a whole celebration thing, like cheers in the back during the audio. Most love to have the sound. All right, John Means. And moving on to a statistic, we're going to have. Oh, this is good. This is a good start. Innings pitched for John Means. All right, Paul. I'm going to remove Means from there. Remove innings pitched from that wheel. Let's set this. So, all right, we're expecting him back June or July. I think they'll be conservative with him. That gives you about, let's project him at about 3 months. That's tough. Let's go with 76.5 innings pitched for John Means. Over or under?
Way under, because Rock has been saying that he's not expected back till July or August. He's going way under 76 innings pitched. Way under.
Way under. Mm-hmm. 76 innings pitched. Okay.
Because you also got to think that he's going to be, he's gonna be on a pitch limit. If he makes 10 starts, he's maybe going to get 50 innings. Maybe.
Fair enough. I guess I should have read Rock's note about how much time Means is expected to miss. I was thinking he was still on track for late June, July. I was trying to do that math in my head, but that's part of the fun of this. So we're going to go under 76.5 innings pitched this season. for John Means, which now that I think about it is pretty obvious, but we'll get better at this as we go along. And now we await Dylan, who is hopefully...
Oh, we lost Dylan.
We lost Dylan.
You're going to be spinning for me?
Yeah, so I'll spin for you. You'll land on a name and a statistic. You will give that name and statistic and an over-under to Dylan, who is back on stream. Oh, disappeared. We almost had him back. I think he's in his basement, which might present a little bit of a problem. But
I hear my cats clawing at the door. I can hear my cats clawing at the door. Let me in.
Yeah, it's a nightly occurrence for me. All right, so we're going to go ahead and spin for Dylan. And if he's not back soon. There he is.
There he is.
Welcome back again.
The internet completely cut out in our house because the video my kid is watching upstairs cut out as well. So that was fun.
We're glad to have you back. All right, so this is Paul is spinning for you. We're going to land on a player and a stat. He'll give you a number. You say over or under. Here we go.
All right, let's do it.
And every time a player is landed on, he will be removed from the board.
Ooh. All right.
Adley Rutschman. Starting strong.
Hopefully I can stick around long enough to answer this.
Ooh.
Okay.
Adley Rutschman
slugging percentage.
Paul, if you guys give me a second here. Let me look at this up right quick and see where he was last year.
Yeah, you can look up what these guys did last season.
All right.
I think I don't have the internet power to do that. I'll try.
So let's see. Adley Rutschman slugged.
If you want references, I'm happy to fill you in.
Adley slugged 442 last year for the Orioles. And he slugged 445 for the Orioles, 444 at Norfolk, 583 at Bowie, and 643 at. All right, Adley Rutschman, slugging percentage, Dylan, over or under 572?
Slugging percentage over under 572?
Yeah.
Under.
Under, okay.
Yep.
For what it's worth, I would take the under on that as well. All right, so now we're going to spin, Dylan. You're going to give these to me, so you're going to make up your number.
All right.
See who we land on. I think
my number 517
is pretty high. I think Adley has a good year. I don't think he slugs that much.
Ooh.
All right, Jordan Westberg.
Yeah.
That's right. There are a few categories in each for stats percentile, and what players we will be allowed to do. Which will be the case here. And you take your number for that.
Okay.
So Jordan Westberg, give me a StatCast percentile.
StatCast percentile can be any of them.
It can be barrel percentage. It can be hard hit rate. It can be strikeout percentage, whiff rate, chase rate, anything you want. Anything that
this will be good since he hasn't even made his major league debut yet, right? So
it'll be interesting.
He might not even have a percentile ranking yet.
He might not.
Yeah.
But here's something there for reference if you're looking for a number or a category. I think we lost him again.
Yeah.
I think I'm having internet issues as well because of everything that's going on my computer.
Yeah, you've been cutting in and out on my feed.
Right.
Oh.
Am I back in?
You're back.
Oh, I didn't even have to leave and re-enter. Oh, that's nice. I was getting ready to text you my selection so you could keep going.
I had to wait it out.
Yep. I'm going to go – so for Jordan Westberg, I'll go with average exit velocity, and we'll set it at 61st percentile over under.
61st percentile. Okay. So Westberg in the spring was hitting some baseballs as high as 111, 112 miles an hour, which is good for close to 80th percentile max exit velo. Average is a little different because it incorporates, you know, obviously the soft hit balls as well. You said 61?
Yes.
Oh, man. I'm going to say over. I think he comes up and hits the ball well.
Okay.
I'll take it. All right. Back to the wheel. So far we've got John Means under 76.5 innings pitched. Dylan's got Adley slugging under 572, and I've got Westberg's average exit velocity over the 61st percentile on StatCast. I'm going to have another spin.
Let's set the over-under on how many times I'm going to keep cutting out.
17.
Taking the over.
All right, Paul, I'm going to give you Anthony Santander.
Tony Taters. And
hey, you can go back to a StatCast.
Oh, heck yeah. On. All right, this is fun.
For you.
All right, so let's look at what Santander did last year. Oh, man. Okay. Santander improved his walk rate last year by a decent bit. I'm not sure he sustains what he was able to do. He was 53rd percentile last year. So I'm going to give you Santander's walk percentile ranking. And I will set it at 39.5.
Oh, over. He's walked a fair amount in spring training. He walked a good bit in, I think he walked like 4 or 5 times in the World Baseball Classic. Showed a better eye at the plate. I think he'll have more protection this year. He's going to be over that.
Okay. Anthony Santander over 39.5 percentile on his walk rate. Copy that one down. Moving on to Paul for Dylan.
Sounds like a country rock star. Paul for Dylan.
Paul for Dylan.
All right, we're going to have Kyle Stowers. Oh, remove that one. So the StatCast, every category will also disappear once it is selected. But there are several StatCast choices. Runs scored. That was for Kyle Stowers. Kyle Stowers runs scored to Dylan.
Oh, man, this one's so hard because is he going to be an everyday player? Is he going to be basically a fourth outfielder? I'll say Kyle Stowers over or under 67 runs scored.
Ooh. This is a tough one because – like you said, don't know what his role is going to be on the team yet, especially for not only to start the season, but the rest of the season. But not only that, there's so much in everybody else's hands for runs scored outside of home runs. Mm-hmm. And depends on where he's hitting the order. If Jorge Mateo's batting behind him every time, Stowers is never going to score. So
he's going to need 67 home runs. To make it
it's solo 67 solo home runs. We'll call it a wash here. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to take the under.
All right.
I have to agree with that. I would go under 67. I think honestly, even if he starts a full season, I think 67 is about what you'd expect from him in a full year hitting behind the big bats in the lineup, which is where he likely will be, even if he gets solid playing time.
So let me throw it to you this way. Roof Neto Dor played, 130-some-odd games for the Orioles last year? He played 135 games.
That's so many.
Holy cow. I know, man. He he had a .207 batting average and a .275 on base percentage, and he scored 49 runs. I have to believe Kyle Stowers, A, hits better than that and gets on base at a higher clip than that. I guess I don't have a point to make there other than 67, I think, is like a really right in the middle number for a guy like Kyle Stowers.
Yeah, I think it's reasonable. I just agree with the under. All right. So this
is going to be 66.
All right, so Dylan, this is you for me.
All right. Hopefully I can stay on here for this one.
We've had a decent little run here. All right, Ryan Mountcastle.
Okay. Do you already have his page pulled up? No.
That's too much of a boring one.
Statcast percentile.
All right, back on Statcast.
Ooh. Oh, that's tough.
Option left for the hitters.
Let me see here.
I'm doing so much on my computer that my internet's cutting out. So I don't have Mountcastle's page pull up, but I did pretty good numbers last year.
I'm trying to pull it up right now. Give me 1 second here, gentlemen.
No problem. I could try to load it on the screen here. Problem is, the more things I try to do on the computer, the worse my internet.
I got it pulled up. And a lot of red for Mountcastle.
I want to look at it. Pretty.
That's fair.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. Okay. Well, so I know his sprint speed dropped down a bunch from 2021 to 2022. He was in, I believe, close to the 70th. His sprint speed dropped like, I think like 18 or something like that from 21 to 22. Wow. He went from like 70th percentile down in the 50s. You know what here? Let's see what he's got here. We're going to go with whiff percentage.
Okay.
With the over under set at 20.5.
Over under 20.5, 20.5 percentile.
Half.
20.5. Okay. That's a good one. Whiff percentage, because he.
Do you think he's going to improve it, and if so, by how much?
All right, he improved by 6% last season, coming from 2021. I think Mountcastle is going to have a monster year, but I'm going to say under on that percentile rank.
Ooh, okay.
Look at how unlucky he was last year. Expected weighted on base average, 93rd percentile. Expected batting average, 91st percentile. Expected slugging percentage, 96th percentile. And he hit .250 with 22 home runs. How freaking unlucky was he last year? Oh, unbelievable.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yep. This is the year Mountcastle breaks out and those numbers start to even out a little bit. I think he's more of the hitter we saw in 2020 than what we saw last year in terms of results.
I think he's better than that. I think he's a lot better than that.
Yeah.
We shall see. I'm excited to find out. I didn't remove Ryan Mountcastle, did I? I suppose I need to pull him off of the thing. All right. This is me for Paul. Spin, spin, spin. Paul.
Oh,
Grayson. Over to pitching.
Innings pitched. Game started.
This has been awesome. I want innings pitched so bad.
Oh,
I don't like losses.
Grayson Rodriguez, right. Losses. Wow. Okay.
Grayson Rodriguez losses. Okay, so there's a lot. There are a lot of variables that go into this. How many games does he start? How deep is he going? How much run support does he get? Mm-hmm. I will set it at... Because if he pitches a full season, if he's held down in the minors until June, it's going to be way lower. All right, I'll say 7.5. Over under 7.5 losses this season.
Oh man. I was legitimately just sitting here thinking, oh man, if he says 8, that's like the perfect number that would make it so damn hard. Over under 7.5 losses. Let's son of a gun. And it really depends on, do we think that the Orioles offense is better this year than it was last year? And only one guy on that entire rotation last year with probably what I would imagine is a worse offense. You had three guys lose 7 games in the starting rotation, and only one guy, Jordan Lyles, lost more than 7 games. Grayson Rodriguez, over under 8, 7.5 losses, under.
Under 7.5 losses. Okay.
Yeah, I think he's going to go something like 9-6.
Okay, I could see it. I like 9-6. Okay, that was Paul. Down to Dylan. So these are going to be Paul's players to give Dylan.
Yep.
I have to tell people that this is one of those episodes you should watch on YouTube instead of listen to on Spotify. All right, Cedric Mullins.
All right.
Sorry, it's too easy.
This might be a tough one because
we're gonna have another Statcast again, which is the final Statcast.
Thank God.
So there will be no more of the kind of fun.
Ryan and I have disagree at times wildly on what we think is fun on this show.
Ooh.
But I do love you, Ryan.
That is certainly true.
Mullins' Statcast page is not very pretty offensively.
Let's see. Let me look him up here.
I am actually surprised that that Cedric Mullins' arm strength is 59th percentile. That actually surprises me.
What?
They said that he gained 3 miles per hour on his average velocity last year.
And I was looking it up just the other day. He was second among all major league center fielders last year in assists.
I was at a game.
I can't remember a single one.
I was at a game where he made like a ridiculous catch in like right center field and absolutely hosed a dude for a double play at first base. It was an awesome throw. I couldn't believe Cedric made it. All right, Cedric Mullins. Yeah, he has a lot of like cool blue and like on his rankings here. So Cedric Mullins, over under.
If you give me sprint speed, I'm gonna be screwed because it's decreased every year.
All right, over under. Hmm. 42% hard hit rate. 42nd percentile, I mean to say.
Right. Hard hit rate, 42nd percentile. Oh, that's a tough one. Let me just look real quick.
Hard hit rate, was what?
I am going to go with the under, and my only reasoning for that is that if you click back to his awesome 2021 season, 30-30 season, he was at a 39th percentile hard hit rate in 2021. So I think that's the only reason I got to stick with the under here.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to go hard hit rate percentile under 42 for Cedric Mullins.
I was trying to go back to his 2021 page, and I couldn't figure out how to do it because I don't ever use this website.
Oh, I love it. My favorite website. One of them.
It's fun because it's like a coloring book, you know? You can judge everything based off colors.
All right, this is Dylan. You're giving these numbers to me. We're going to go with Kyle Bradish.
Kyle Bradish. Okay.
Don't get me. Okay. Another Statcast.
I thought Statcast was pitchers. Done.
Oh, for pitchers. Yes.
Oh.
So for okay. pitcher comparison, I have Kyle Gibson up on here.
Yeah, I'm pulling up Bradish.
Give you an idea.
Let's see here. Whew. Bradish is patron 22 is very, very blue, except for spin rates, velocity, and extension. So.
They didn't have exceptional metrics last year.
Let's see here. Yeah. His chase rate was only in the 9th percentile. Crazy. I'm going to say we're going to go to the expected slugging rate.
Okay.
And I'm going to put the slugging again. Yeah. And I'm going to do the over under set at 49.5.
Oof. Okay. I was hoping you'd stay low. I was going to take the over. man.
I had to make some kind of a challenge here.
Yeah.
I knew you were going to anticipate improvement, but how much improvement?
And I can't take a push on a decimal. Okay. 49 and again, 49.5 percentile. Expect the slugging. You know what? I'm taking the over.
Yeah? Okay.
I can't explain why, but I'm taking the over. I think some of these numbers might be a little clouded from his rough start last season.
Yeah.
I
think it's very safe to assume that all three of us, perhaps, and correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but I think we're all well aboard the Kyle Bradish train this season.
Yeah.
Chooch.
Yeah.
I think
firmly
so
on.
Old. Yep.
Okay. So we got Bradish in there. I think I've taken off everybody that we've gotten so far. Yep. All right. So me for Paul. Spin. Yeah, I think a lot of Orioles Nation is on board with Bradish as
except for one guy who got into it. Somebody got into it with me on Twitter last night into today about Kyle Bradish. I'll tell you about that in a second.
Oh goodness.
All right, Paul.
Ooh.
Opponent OPS.
Who was the player again? I'm sorry. I was responding to a work email.
Felix.
Felix Bautista.
Felix Bautista.
Opponent OPS.
He's up the over under set at 0.
Okay.
Over under.
Okay.
Would that be standard? I need to stop having to look things up because it's screwing me up.
I think you may have to go to his actual page for more. Yeah, it's not going to be there.
I need to know what his number was last year so I can give a reasonable. Let's see. It's not there.
536. It was 536 last year.
Okay, that's a good number. All right, 536 opponent OPS. Closing out that window for Felix Bautista. Paul, set it I will there. Set the over under. I'm gonna go a little higher. I'm gonna say, let's put it at
599.
599 over under opponent OPS for Felix Bautista.
That's all right. Tough. That's tough.
Let's see here.
Are you having fun?
599. Dude, I think he's so nasty. I think he has maybe the best stuff in baseball. Out of the bullpen. I'm going to say under. I got to take the under. I think he's going to be even better than last year. Like, if you watched him, his first spring training outing this year, it looked like, not just because of his size, it looked like a man amongst boys. He was just so much better than everybody he faced this spring. I think he's going to be under.
Okay. Taking the under on Bautista. I like that. Let's pull that off of the thing. So we still have two stat casts for pitchers left. I didn't remove that from the hitters. All right, next player. This is me or Paul for Dylan. Add that on here. Trying to take notes and look at pages and spin wheels and.
That's
Jimmy Dale Hall. This might be my favorite player on the entire roster.
All right, let's see it. What are we gonna get for Dale Hall?
Don't give me looks.
Get there.
Strikeouts.
DL strikeouts.
DL Hall strikeouts.
And just to be clear, this is strikeouts for the major league club, correct?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Correct. Yes.
DL Hall over under 102 strikeouts.
102 strikeouts. I'm thinking here. I'm looking down at what he did last year. When he's gonna be up, all that good stuff. 102 strikeouts.
I want to take the over so bad. Sorry, I shouldn't try to.
That's tough. It's tough, one, because we don't know when he's going to be up, but two, even though they're still starting him in Norfolk to stay stretched out as a starter this year, I still would not be surprised later this year if he winds up in a bullpen role later down the road in the year, especially if they're competing down the stretch and there's no rotation spots there for Hall. They're going to want Hall on that roster somehow.
I can see it.
It all depends on when he gets called up. So I'm going to go with the under, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I got to take the under. That's
you
a sure? tough one.
Seems like you want to change your mind.
It's more so regretfully choosing the under because I think it's going to be a little longer before we see him consistently.
Uh-oh.
Instantly in the road.
All right, little spotty there from Dylan, unless that's just on my end. I'm going to continue to spin the wheel. This is going to be – Dylan's going to give these to me potentially, or I could text him and let him know what he needs to give me. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. So I'm going to have Dean Kramer and my Dean Kramer – statistic will be. I wonder if Dylan's hoping that it's just going to come back like it did before. All right, Dean Kramer games started.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I was hoping that would go to like a Grayson or DL type. or John Means, but
that would have been cool.
John Means innings.
Well, John Means innings pitch is a good one.
Yeah.
What I will say is I feel like we may need to start picking up the pace a little bit here.
Yeah, that's fine. We don't have to go through the whole thing. We'll do
one more each.
So this can be our last one, if unless we want to do one more round.
Let's see how long it takes Dylan to get back in here, and we'll ask him what he wants to do. He should be back. Well, it looks like.
You rejoined with no video. Dylan, can you hear us? No luck. I don't know if you can hear me. I'm going to text you. You need to give me Dean Kramer game started. You need to give me an over-under for that. Let's see if he gets back to me on that. I'm going to pull him out of the stream for a second. Yeah, I didn't expect this to take as long as it is. I think part of it's the internet issues that Dylan and I are both having. But
it's also that we go to check a stat page with every question.
That's true.
You know what I mean?
That is adding a little bit of time to it. I'm waiting to text back from Dylan. Over under. All right, he said 29.5. I got to go under.
I hear you, man. I don't think that he will have under 29.5 because of ineffectiveness. I think it might be because he might need to be skipped a couple starts or maybe go on the IL or something. That's a lot of starts for a dude who's never done it before.
Yeah, I think to take the over on 29.5 would be to assume a full uninterrupted season, and I don't see that happening. Not with
it's
the number.
It's so rare.
Yeah, it really is. Now, could I take the over for that on a guy like Kyle Gibson or Cole Irvin?
Yeah.
But for Kramer, I'm not convinced just yet. Kramer's another guy who had really good results last year, but his peripheral stats point to a little bit of regression.
Yeah. He gave up his fair share of home runs this spring, which kind of makes you nervous. So, and when he misses, he tends to miss up, which is bad for him. I say let's go through one more time in the hopes that we get Dylan back.
Okay. Let's run it through one more. There's a few names. Should I cut down to the bigger names on the list?
Nah, man. Just go with what you got.
All right, let's let it ride. All right, so this is going to be I will be giving these to you.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get Dylan back.
I knew I was getting Jorge Mateo. I knew it.
It was inevitable. All right, Jorge Mateo. And let's see. Interesting. Okay. Jorge Mateo extra base hits.
Ooh. Jorge Mateo extra base hits. Let's see. Last year.
Let's see. He had like about a dozen homers. I think he had like maybe four triples.
He had 45 extra base hits last year.
25 doubles, 7 triples, 13 home runs. That's in 533 plate appearances. Let's put it at Jorge Mateo extra base hits. I think 45 is high. Let's go with 34.5. Over under 34.5 extra base hits for Jorge Mateo this season.
He's going to have less at bats than last year. I would imagine anyway.
How many though? Is the question.
Even if he doesn't lose his job, they're going to keep guys a lot fresher because they have so many options this year. 34.5 extra base hits. So let's say 20 doubles. Over. I'm going to take the over. I think he's good for 21, 22 doubles. I think he's probably good for 4 or 5 triples. I think he's good for double-digit home runs. I'm going to take the over.
Okay. Fair enough. All right, 2 more rounds left. So these are going to be – you're going to give these to Dylan. Dylan says that the internet is completely out at his house now, which means I'm going to have to text him what we need from him, No problem, though. We are going to wrap.
He can't join with his. He can't join through his phone.
Oh, I don't know. Can you? Let's see. Dylan says, tell the fans that the show is being renamed. Give that fan that has internet connection a podcast. Got to have internet to do. All right, like Mona it. Rios. Ooh, we're going to get wins above replacement.
Mona Rios, wins above replacement. Now, is this strictly with the Orioles or whatever team he inevitably gets traded to?
This is all with the Orioles.
Strictly with the Orioles, wins above replacement.
Strictly with the Orioles. We'll go with Fangraphs WAR.
Fangraphs WAR.
Because it's a different calculation for Baseball Reference and Fangraphs. We'll go with Fangraphs just because that's what I have up on the screen.
How much is he going to play? How much is he going to hit with the limited playing time? Over under 2.3. Wins above replacement. F WAR for Ramona Rios.
All right, Ramona Rios over under 2.3 F WAR. What was his number last year?
It was like 3.4. I know his B WAR was 3.4 last year.
Ramona Rios Fangraphs WAR last year 2.6. I think a chunk of that related to his defense.
Yeah.
So see what Dylan says. Told him 2.6 last year. And then the last round will be for Dylan to give a number to me, and then we're going to wrap things up.
Do you want to go into we're going to do our like realistic predictions and whatnot after this?
Sure, yeah, we'll run it quick. Dylan goes, give me the under of 2.3 F4 solely because I think he'll be traded. So he won't accrue the rest of his F4 with the O's.
Yeah.
I think that's reasonable. So we're going to say Arias under 2.3.
I didn't think that there would be more than almost a win difference between F4 and B WAR, because his B WAR last year was 3.4. So when I said 2.3, it was accounting for a little bit of a regression and also the fact that I think he's going to be traded.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Not sure how it's calculated on these different sites. I know it's different. All right, last one is Taron Vavra. Dylan via iPhone.
Dylan via iPhone. All right,
so Dylan,
iPhone.
This is going to be our last category for this. This is going to be our last installment of this game. So you're going to give me a number for Taron Vavra. And you'll set the over-under for his weighted runs created plus.
Ooh.
This is a good one to end.
This is a very good one to end. First of all, can you guys hear me?
Taron Vavra, WRC plus. Yeah. Last year, it was 97.
It's 100 is league average, right?
Yes.
Yes. I'm going to go ahead and set the over-under at 106.5.
106.5. Okay. Gosh. That's tough, too. I think. So this is runs create. Okay. You know what? I don't have justification for this. I'm taking the over. I love Taron Vavra. I think he deserves enough playing time. I think he deserves more playing time than Adam Frazier. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see him have a good year and force his way into the lineup more often. Love it if this year's Rougned Odor is a player I actually like, because I think Taron Vavra fits that role perfectly as someone who is in the lineup quite often.
I didn't realize how big Taron Vavra is. I always thought of him as like a Brian Roberts type, like 5'9", 5'10". He's 6'1". He's not small. So And he put on muscle this offseason. He was driving the ball with way more authority in spring training. I think he's going to have a good year.
Okay. It's Taron Vavra. We got over 106.5 weighted runs created plus. I'm going to throw all those on a document, and we will make a graphic. All right, a couple more predictions, and then we're going to wrap this up. Dylan, I will start with you. What will be the Orioles' record this year, and will that be enough to make the playoffs?
I'm going to go with 85 and 77. So that's, I believe, two wins more than last year.
Okay.
And much like last year, I think that's going to just miss the playoffs. I think we're going to have a very competitive September for Orioles fans to enjoy, but with the ultimate heartbreak toward that last week of the season and just fall short.
Okay, Paul, what about you? Orioles record, and will they make the playoffs?
All right. They have a pretty soft first month schedule. They have a pretty soft June schedule, and they have a pretty soft, surprisingly, final month schedule. And then the other 3 months are brutal. Even still, I think they're going to be a really good team this year. I'm taking the Orioles 88 and 75. That's what I said on my show. I got to stick to it. 88 and 75, and they're going to be the number 3 wild card team.
Okay.
The sixth seed.
Our friend Eric Arditti posted the other day asking for predictions. One of them was the Orioles record. I said 86 and 76. I'm going to stand by that. I also think I don't hope. I think they will narrowly miss the playoffs once again. I think there are too many good teams in the American League, and I think it might be another year before the Orioles are making a legitimate push deep into the postseason. I want them to make the playoffs. I think they're capable of making the playoffs, but I think we're going to see a little bit of regression from certain players. We're also going to see, you know, some incremental improvements from a lot of guys, but I'm going to put them at 86 and 76, just missing the playoffs this year. Hopefully I am way off. All right. And then last thing I want from you guys, and Dylan, we will start with you since we have you with a good connection for now. I would like to know, you're erasing your realistic prediction because we kind of just talked about that.
Yeah. I'm like, just talked about it. I wrote the realistic prediction before answering your question for record and will it be enough to make the playoffs. So it kind of nullifies my realistic prediction. So I'm going to kind of go off the top here, and I'm going to say that Austin Hayes has a very similar first half to what he had last year, which is basically tearing the cover off the ball. However, will start to fizzle out a bit, not to the tune that he did last year, but ultimately when it's time for promoting Colton Cowser, Cowser and Hayes run into a righty-lefty platoon situation.
Okay, I think that's very fair, very realistic. And then your surprise prediction, what do you got?
My surprise prediction is that some East Coast bias here will happen for Adam Frazier, because everybody, including myself at times, is very confused about the signing for Adam Frazier. So because nothing makes sense whatsoever, Adam Frazier will return to his very good hitting ways as he was with the Pirates. East Coast bias here. He was not very good in San Diego, not very good in Seattle. He's back on the East Coast now, so he's going to be good again.
I like that reasoning. Hopefully it comes true, although that would mean less playing time for my guy, Taron Vavra. But in any event, we're going to move on to Paul, your realistic prediction for the Orioles this season, and then something that would be a little bit of a surprise.
All right, my realistic prediction is Kyle Bradish is the Orioles' best starter this year. Had a guy arguing with me that me saying that I thought he was going to have a sub-3.5 ERA this year was based on nothing objective. And I went through these whole things, all these things about his ERA his last 13 starts and you know, how only six rookie pitchers had more innings pitched to him and all this stuff, and he just didn't want to hear it. So he's going to be the Orioles' best starter. My surprise prediction, can I give you two? Because I thought of another one.
Go for it.
All right, so my number one, Ryan Mountcastle will be the Orioles' Austin Riley. I don't think that he's going to have the on-base percentage that Austin Riley has, but I think the batting average and the home runs and the RBIs are going to be similar. I think he's that, I think he really is that dude, and you can see by how unlucky he was last year. I think he's going to have a big, big year. The other one is that Heston Kjerstad gets promoted before Colton Kapser.
Wow.
Ooh.
Wow.
Spicy.
Is that because, well, obviously for that to happen, Kjerstad would have to tear the cover off the ball. But do you think that has to do with Kowser's struggles against left-handed pitching?
I think it has to do with I guess that would be why I think he would struggle a little bit more. I just think Heston, what he did in the playoffs at High A, what he did in the Arizona Fall League, what he did to start spring training, and then he stayed hot even when he started facing big league pitching in spring training. I think he's going to get a promotion to AAA pretty quickly this year if he doesn't start there. I think there's an outside chance he starts there, but I think he's going to get a promotion pretty quickly to AAA. And I think that even though I don't know that they're the same caliber of player, we'll be talking about him this time next year the same way we're talking about Gunnar Henderson this year.
I like that a lot. You mentioned that on last week's show. I think that's a solid prediction. All right, I'm going to go realistic prediction. I think the Orioles will have three All-Stars this season. I don't know exactly who those three All-Stars will be, but my heart, my gut tell me Adley Rutschman, Ryan Mountcastle, and Felix Bautista will all be All-Stars this season. Mountcastle, the biggest long shot of the three. And then my surprise prediction, Jordan Westberg will finish higher in Rookie of the Year voting than Grayson Rodriguez.
Ooh.
That assumes that one of these guys receives at least one vote so that they appear on the leaderboard. But that's what I'm going to go with. I think Westberg comes up and really opens a lot of people's eyes. People, I think, have been sleeping on Westberg a little bit, not necessarily in the Orioles organization, but the rest of baseball. And I think this year he comes up and makes a significant impact. Grayson, I think he's got tremendous upside, but I think, as is the case with most pitchers, there will be struggles as a rookie. And for that reason, I'll take Westberg higher in Rookie of the Year voting.
So I'll tell you, I didn't realize this till last week. I was on the treadmill and I was reading about Jordan Westberg. And I know that you guys probably, you two may think this, that RBIs are an antiquated stat, but he drove in 106 last year. And I think that you have to be pretty damn good to drive in 106 runs in the minor leagues. So I'm with you, Ryan. That's a bold prediction, but I like it. I think Westbrook's going to have a decent year.
All right.
Yeah, I do like that prediction. I think it may also be worth noting that not even just with Rodriguez starting the year in AAA, but also we knew going into this, we don't know what the cap is, but he is going to have an innings limit of some form or fashion this year. We don't even know if Grayson Rodriguez is going to have qualified innings for the award. Yeah.
Well, I don't think there's a minimum. I think it's mostly performance. I don't think you have to pitch a certain amount of innings. I think it's about the impact you make in those things. He won't qualify as a league leader, most likely.
Correct. You're right. That's my fault.
But I did take that into account when I made this prediction that, you know, Rodriguez will be on an innings limit. I think if Westberg comes up and gets regular playing time, I think he can make a real impact and sway the voters a little bit. Anything else you guys wanted to touch on before we get out of here? We've been going for longer than I anticipated, but
no way.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise. Any final thoughts? Dylan, thank you for doing this. Anything to say on your way out?
Just appreciate you guys having me on for 17 times in one night. and I thought about purposefully cutting out one more time just to come back again, just for one last hurrah there, but I'll leave it alone this time. But just appreciate you guys having me on. And,
of course, man.
Can't wait to be back on and review all these and see how wrong we were on every single one of them.
Most likely. Yeah, this was fun. I think, you know, I didn't want to just do, you know, home runs and OPS for all the hitters and ERA and stuff for the pitchers. I wanted to, you know, mix it up a little bit because everyone's doing these over under predictions. Everyone's doing, you know, what they think is going to happen this year. I wanted to spice it up a little bit. So I brought out the trusty wheel, the wheel of doom, whatever we're calling it. And it was a fun exercise. So thank you guys for appeasing me. It was an idea I came up with this afternoon, texted Paul, made it happen. So thank you guys for being a part of that. Yeah. Paul, any final thoughts before we go?
Just super excited for baseball season. As always, I think the Orioles have a really good team this year, and I think that they're only going to get better from here, lift off from here. I also just want to give my own show, the Bat Around, even though this is my own show too, but I want to give the Bat Around a plug because Rock Kabatko is going to join us at 11:05 on Saturday morning for our first in-season show this year. So I'm really excited about that. Hopefully everybody tunes in to hear what Rock has to say about Grayson Rodriguez, the Orioles infield situation, and the team as a whole. So tune in for that.
Good stuff. All right. Well, thank you as always to Derek and Tony at Utah Street Report for hosting the podcast. Thank you to Dylan for joining us via iPhone for the second, I guess, the last 20% of this show via iPhone. Thanks, Paul, for doing this with me as always.
Yeah.
I don't have an outro video this week. I did create a new intro, which you all saw at the beginning. I don't have an outro, so I'm going to do a little sign off. And I've never been good at this, but I'm going to go ahead and end the broadcast. We'll see you next week on Give That Fan a Podcast. Opening day tomorrow. I meant to say this earlier. Kyle Gibson, Corey Kluber, Fenway Park, 2:10 p.m. Let's do it. See ya.